This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
How to get rich in the hair business by Carrie Hines. When I think about this amazing book, I think back to when I was writing this book back in about 2013, maybe a little earlier. I had met with one of the graphic folks and one of the persons who was helping us to kind of get Hair Radio back on track. And I was focused on doing a live meetup event called the Legends, you know, Working with the Legends event back then, honoring the legends. And so I needed a book to kind of be the linchpin for the live hair event. And so here comes this fella to help me pull it together. His name's Anthony. And I did not do the cover at that time. I was not designing graphics, had no interest in that at the time. And it was my job to write the book, and I had to pretty much get it done quickly so that it would be available when we launched our live Legends event, honoring the legends of the hair industry in different fields. And so now, scan ahead, the book is celebrating about 10 years of being in release and has been a very critical part of a person, you know, who is just looking to add funds to the bottom line. That's what the book was, the crux of the book, and certainly, you know, how to get rich in the hair business. The title alone makes you aware that if that's what you're looking for, these are the steps that you need to take. And where it leads you to is no other place but to be successful. But again, this is how to get rich in the hair business, and I'm honored to be working on a brand new follow-up book that will help you to take you beyond. So I'm super excited, and in honor of the 10th anniversary of the How to Get Rich in the Hair Business book, we will re-release it along with a brand new edition. So lots more to come, and just stay tuned.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois. And that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community, my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
All right, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now with me, I have some very special guests on this very special panel taping today on the broadcast. It is my great honor and pleasure to welcome to the show. We're going to say he has his own radio, popular radio broadcast right here, the one and only Michael Hopkins, who is the host of the Vet Talk Radio Show. Good morning, Michael, and welcome.
How are you this morning, Carrie Hines?
Doing
plum pleasure, pleasure to be here this morning.
Yes, awesome to have you. And, of course, I want to say Katrina, who is out of Paris, Texas, and Nicole out of Water Valley, two of Michael's amazing producers on his broadcast. Good morning, Katrina, and good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Carrie. How are you?
I'm doing just fantastic, Miss Katrina. And Nicole, I want to say welcome to both of you as well. And last but certainly not least, I want to bring back to our line right here. He's been a frequent guest right here on our broadcast and across our network at different times. It's my great honor to welcome you guys. Know him. He helped to anchor our coverage for New Year's Eve when we ushered in this past year. So we are just so excited to welcome Statewide Chip Bahia to the broadcast this morning. So hello, Statewide Chip, rapper from Philadelphia. We are happy to have you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, it's our pleasure. So listen, I want to kind of jump right on in. First of all, this is a big, big story, and we've been doing quite a few panel discussions about the whole slap that I've called Slapgate. And which is a play on the Watergate thing from way back in the 70s for you guys who may not be aware. But we're referring to, or what I'm referring to, is this thing that is still playing out in the media at this time that we are going to, you know, talk about this. So I just want to find out, has anyone not seen this slap? Okay. Has anyone not heard the slap? I should probably say, because you can hear it everywhere.
So why don't we go ahead and lead in with you, Michael Hopkins, host of the Popular Vet Talk radio show. You are a veteran, and you help veterans with issues. And to file claims and to get to the bottom of their claims issues. So let's start with you. How do you feel about this? I mean, this was, you're not someone, I don't believe that you were sitting down waiting for the Oscars to come on with popcorn and your feet up. So you had to have heard about this later. Did you see this slap play out at all?
Well, yeah, I caught it.
Okay, hold it. Michael, can you repeat that? I think I lost you a little bit there.
Oh, I was saying I caught it on the news, and the evening news.
Yeah.
And I had to kind of blink my eyes a couple of times and rub them because I couldn't believe what I saw on the TV. I just couldn't believe it because I'm looking at two people that are supposed to be professionals, and they're in the top of their field. And this is what it comes down to. And I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it.
Wow. You said two professionals, so it sounds like you blame kind of both of them. Is that the way I look at it, or do you think one person, Michael Hopkins, is more responsible than the other?
Now, I think, and this is just me, my personal opinion, it was on both sides of the fence, Carrie Hines. That's the way I look at it. To me, you're supposed to stay in character no matter what you're doing. And in an affair like that, you're professional. You're supposed to stay in character. If you had an issue with another person, professionally, it should have been taken away from the stage, away from the cameras.
Right. Yeah.
Let's settle this like two adults. Not, I'm going to get up on a stage on live TV, smack you, then you're going to the smack. Is it the smacky? Let's just say the smacky uses profanity to say what just happened to him.
Well, he was the smacker who used the profanity.
Yeah, well, they both did. They didn't show it. I saw another version of it.
Okay, well, let me go back to the original question. Are you team, but do you blame both of them, Michael Hopkins, or are you looking, because it sounds like you were equating both of them, you know, you were saying both are responsible. I just want to make sure that I understand, or do you blame one instead of both, or do you blame both?
No, to me, both of them were responsible for what happened. That's what I think.
How so?
Well, apparently there have been some issues between both of them before. So the gentleman, shall we say, decided to say something, to do a joke like he's done before. And apparently to Will Smith and his wife, it didn't go over too well. They may have laughed, but it didn't go over too well from what I'm seeing.
Okay, well, you're entitled to your opinion. What about the way you look at this, Katrina? How do you feel about this situation? Katrina from Paris, Texas, producer on the Vet Talk radio show on our network. Katrina, when you see something like this, how do you feel about this, Katrina?
Well, at first when I was reading it, I thought I was reading something wrong. I'm like, this can't be. This, like, can't be. It got to be a joke. I'm like, so I had to go look it up and look at the video. And then when I seen it, I was like, wow. But the more that I look at it, I don't know if it could have been scripted or if it was real, because him getting up there smacking him, it's just the way everything played out. Like Chris Rock, he really didn't try and fade. He didn't try and walk, move off. And then Will just turned around and walked off stage and went and sat down. There was no security or no one even tried to get up and get him when they seen him even walking up there to Chris Rock. Because usually when things go on like that, there going to be security coming to try and prevent anything. So that what made me seem like it was either staged or it was played. And yes, they was laughing, both him and Jada, but they were laughing at the jokes that he was already telling before he easily came in with the G.I. Jane joke. And when he looked over and seen that she didn't like that comment, that's when he got up and went up there. Yes, it could have been handled professionally, but you don't know what have already been warned or done already been told way before everything had went down. I just didn't like the fact that children who look up at both of them as models end up seeing both of them acting where they are in public and to the world. They see them as role models. That's the part that I didn't like.
How it played out. Let me ask you. I'm going to jump in and ask you, Katrina. So do you blame one or both of them?
I'm going to blame both. I'm going to blame both because Chris Rock should have already have known or probably already known how the situation is or was at hand. It doesn't matter if he don't read or look on social media all the time. But I'm pretty sure him and Wilden already had a conversation about issues where he have spoken on his wife once before within this same matter dealing with the Oscars. So I just feel like it should have been, he should have did more, been more professional and not to even bring her name up in it or went some other way. And it should have been more professional on Will's end, or I felt like his wife should have just grabbed him and touched him and say, hold on, baby, it's all right. We can take care of that later.
And if I heard that voice tell me, hold on, baby, we can take care of it later, I would be paying full attention.
Absolutely.
But how about instead, Katrina, you shot one of those eyes over at me and said, you know, you gave me the side eye and said, sick him with your eyes.
I mean, I know it's the look that you would give and be like, I need your protection, or like, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
I understand, yes, I would get up and I'll go do that, but I still think it should have been handled professionally.
Okay. I'm going to turn to Nicole. Nicole, you and Katrina represent two-thirds of Michael's Angels panel from the Vet Talk radio show. Nicole is out of Water Valley, Mississippi.
Yes.
And my very good friend, all of you guys, you have been very dear to me here at the Hair Radio Morning Show and to our fans. Now, I'm going to ask you the same question, Nicole. Did you see the coverage firsthand? Were you watching the Oscars that night by any chance?
I was not watching the Oscars that night, but I started receiving a phone call from a couple of my cousins, and they were telling me about it, and they were sending me the video clip. So when I watched the clip, my first thought was like, oh, my goodness, what in the world? Just total shock and just couldn't believe that this was happening and just very saddened by it.
Why were you saddened?
Well, for one, that's big time. In Hollywood, that's big time. And it's big time for us as African-Americans being represented at the Oscars. You had Will Packer being the first African-American producer of the Oscars. You had three women hosts, two of which were African-American. You had, besides Will winning for King Richard, you had other black actors that won the Oscars. And the coverage from the Oscars, everything you hear about is about Trump being slapped by Will Smith. And that's very sad. And just a slap to the African-American community and to Hollywood. It's just very sad.
Well,
very,
when you look
sad.
At this, do you blame, I'm going to ask the same question to you that I asked to Michael Hopkins, your illustrious host of the Vet Talk radio show, and to your colleague on the producing panel, Katrina. So how do you weigh in on this? Do you believe it's one person's fault or both individuals?
I actually believe it's both of their fault. Comedians, yes, they make jokes, but that joke was in very poor taste. Both Michael and Katrina had mentioned before, back at in the Oscars at 2016, when Chris Rock was a host, he made a joke about Jada then. So there was already some bad blood there because they didn't appreciate that joke then. And then to have this joke told here, which, like I said, I felt like was in very poor taste on Chris Rock's part, I blame him for that because it was in poor taste. But then also,
can you tell us what you mean by poor taste with the joke?
Well, for one, if there was already kind of bad blood and a joke being told before that both Jada and Will didn't appreciate, and then to come right back with, you know, another joke about the, you know, the movie G.I. Jane, and then with her going through her alopecia, which she has made public, but still, I just feel like it was in poor taste.
Okay, well, you're entitled. And so this is where I want to kind of jump on, and I appreciate the comments from everybody. First, let me just lead in with that. I got to say, guys, I don't know. I think I disagree with you a little bit there. I don't believe that their actions should be equated. I don't think they're equal. I think that, Chris Rock is a comedian. And to me, a comedian tells jokes. And also, Jada and Will were seated right in the front row. And this is what typically happens to celebrities at entertainment award shows. It's kind of like you go to a comedy show. If you and your girls, your good gal pals and male buds go to a comedy show, now who in the world, if you know what I mean, you know you're not going to sit in the front row. And if you are going to sit in that front row, you know they're pretty good chance you're going to get someone telling some jokes about you sitting in the front row.
That's
one thing. The other thing is I also would not equate it, because that man is paid to tell jokes. He's paid to entertain people. And jokes, of course, may land to different people in different ways. That's what a joke does. There's usually a morsel of truth in jokes. And that's what makes it even more appealing and more understandable and laughable. I don't blame Chris Rock. He did not say, come up and slap me, Will, please. Will Smith took to violence. It was a violent act. And Will Smith got up out of his chair on his own volition. Yes, his wife might have shot him an eye, but he got up out of his own volition and decided to take the matter into his own hands. And that is what, to me, that's why I don't blame him. I don't blame Chris Rock for telling a joke. That's what he's paid to do. But as far as Will Smith, if they were not happy about the jokes being told, then go sit in the back or don't even show up. And as far as Jada is concerned about her hair so much, if you really so concerned about your alopecia, then why didn't you wear a wig?
Right.
If you were going to be bothered when somebody's looking at your hair or calling you G.I. Jane, which G.I. Jane, when is G.I. Jane a bad thing? Demi Moore was beautiful in G.I. Jane, by the way. And the whole thing, in my opinion, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Maybe she it's not fair to be compared to her. I don't know. But that's not even the point. I don't think it really, to me, should have risen to that level. I thought when I first heard this slap, I thought it was about maybe an entanglement joke or something. Then I could have kind of understood it a little bit. That's what I really thought, because I wasn't watching it either. And so when I first heard about it, I said, oh, he probably, I just truly assumed it was an entanglement joke, because to me that would have been funny. It would have been fighting words, but it would have been funny. But when I heard about alopecia, she does look like G.I. Jane. I mean, that's what's some truth to that. What on earth? I'm still trying to find what the big problem was. So if she was sensitive to it. Now, she got up all the time and talked about alopecia. And don't have me break down alopecia for everybody, because I can. But in this case, I don't blame both of them. I blame Will. I'm proud of his accomplishments as a fellow Philadelphian. I really am. I'm proud of his accomplishments and proud that he finally won. But that was also overshadowed by this poor action, this poor choice of his action that night. So I'm sorry, that's how I weigh. And you guys don't have to agree with me on that. You can continue to think it was both. I think it was more so, I don't blame Chris Rock for telling the joke. Now, with a joke being said, if you say that joke, then you got to stand up for what you say, and you got to take the consequences of that. So that's my only thing for that. If that, you know, otherwise, don't say it. If you running scared, don't say it. But if you, you know, I don't think he felt that that was so threatening. I'm going to tell you the truth, because to me, that's not that. I don't know. I don't take it as being that threatening. You know, maybe Jada, she looked like he had just pretty much, you know, slapped her or something. She was really kind of in her feelings in that moment. And I was just surprised of that, because that was like, whoa. You know, yeah, I just was. Right? Now, how do you feel?
I agree. I agree with what you said, exactly what you said. I agree. I don't think that I don't think you can take a professional comedian and laugh at his jokes 90% of the time, but then just or 95% of the time, but then this one little incident. Oh, now he's out of pocket for being what he's been his whole career. He's been a comedian, whether he's funny or not to everybody. That's what he does. He, like you said, he gets paid to make jokes. And jokes sometimes do come at the butt of people.
Somebody
but
is the butt. That wouldn't
all,
be a
yeah,
joke
all the
if
time.
It wasn't a butt.
But they're jokes. They're jokes. If it was a joke that you didn't like, and then you say something after the fact. But at the same time, every comedian has gotten up on stage and talked about some other celebrity. There's never been a stand-up that I've seen where a celebrity wasn't the butt of at least one joke. I mean, it happens all the time. So to me, for him to do all of that at the Oscars, like what was said earlier, that's one of the top, you know, award shows for Hollywood, and with black actors already catching a short end of the stick when it comes to the Oscars and Grammys and things of that nature. I just think that kind of set us back a little bit, and I can't see how it would be Chris Rock's fault. I mean, that's one of the things that's going on in America right now. Everything is so sensitive. Everybody's so sensitive. Nobody can just tell jokes and just speak however they speak. Everybody has to, oh, I can't say this, or I'll be canceled, or oh, I don't want to say this, or I'll lose my endorsements. Or it's whatever happened to the freedom of speech thing. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a joke. Either you laugh or you don't laugh, but I don't think that it was supposed to have gone that far. And like I said, Will laughed at the joke. If he laughed at the joke and then saw that Jada didn't laugh at the joke, well, he can't take back the fact that he laughed. So I think maybe he was trying to save face a little bit, but at the end of the day, he still did a little bit too much. And one of the things that I noticed was watching all the other black actors when he was talking and making his little apology and everything. It kind of seemed like you know, they showed Denzel kind of looked disgusted, just like. It wasn't a good look. You know, then he got up there and he was crying and doing all this, man. Like, at the same time, if we want to tell Chris Rock that he has to stand on his thing, then Will, you too have to stand on your actions. You can't get up there and cry to the world, oh, I'm too this. Listen, you did what you did. If it was a mistake, it was a mistake. But at the time, you thought the dude was right. You got to stand on something. So you can't get up there, oh my God, and cry to America. That's what he was in the meetings for the first time doing. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, men can't cry, nothing like that. But in that situation, that just kind of seemed like a real punk action to me. Just, oh, now you want to get up here and cry because people are, it's too late for that. You did what you did. As a man, you got to stand on that. And to me, I don't think that he did that. I think that he let his emotions get too far away from him. Again, if he thought that he was taking up for his wife, then as everybody stated, that there was a time and a place for that. Like, you know, commercial break for one. We can go address the situation and during a commercial or after the show, after parties, whatever the case may have been. I'm pretty sure that they had more opportunities to cross paths, and it could have been done that way. Now, whatever would happen off camera, that's their business. But the fact that it was on camera for the whole world to see, I don't think that was a good look. I don't think so at all. And I don't blame Chris. I think Chris, he was telling jokes. He was telling jokes the whole show anyway. Well, from the parts that I saw, so I don't think that one little joke about G.I. Jane. I mean, it was a buzz cut or whatever the case was. That's what he was talking about. It was the haircut. I mean, it wasn't anything about her health. It wasn't anything about her condition or anything. He didn't say anything about the entanglement, and he could have, because that's still very much fresh in America's minds. But he didn't. He just said something about her haircut, and to me, I think it got blown out of proportion. I mean, it did look like G.I. Jane's haircut. It didn't look like Wakanda's haircut because the women in Wakanda were bald. So I don't think that would have been an accurate joke. It was, I believe, the joke would have been. I don't think he could have made it any worse or made it any better. But it was what it was. You either laugh or you don't. But I don't think that it was called for all of what happened. I don't think so. But I don't blame Chris. I do think that was all Will. And also with one of the female parents, I'm not sure exactly which one said it, but I 100% agree. Her being his wife and thinking about you know, maybe his better judgment maybe not being, you know, in play, or what he could stand to lose as far as his endorsements and his awards and things of that nature. Because I didn't even know that he won the award that night. If he won anything, then his actions definitely overshadowed the positive part about it. But you being a wife and supposed to be protecting and the same way that he's got up there and protected her name, maybe she should have, you know, like the female panelist said, maybe she should have said, hey, baby, look relax, we'll worry about it later.
That was Katrina.
You know, you got things to lose. Right. So I definitely agree with Katrina when she said that, because she didn't do that. And had she did that, it may have been a lot different. Like, if he was getting ready to jump up and she jumped up, whoa, wait, then maybe that would have been a lot more, you know, that would have been a whole different narrative to the whole situation.
We probably wouldn't be talking about it right now.
Right. And then maybe we could have been talking about the whole Will and Jada Black Love thing again, because she took up for him in the same way that he was getting ready to take up for her, but she thought about the bigger picture. You got things to lose. You may never be invited back to the Oscars again. You fought so hard to be here.
Exactly.
There's things that I think both of them as a couple or as a married couple should have done differently. I don't think that was Chris's fault, but I do still, if there was two people to blame, I would blame both Will and Jada.
Michael Hopkins, how do you feel about statewide Chip's comment? He would have blamed both. Do you think Jada deserves some of the blame here at all? And Michael, you may not be aware of the entanglement stuff.
About.
Yeah.
I just, I guess because of the background and what I come from, where I come from.
Michael, are you away from the mic?
I guess the background that I come from, is this a lot better?
Yes, thank you.
And I'm guessing maybe I'm looking at it from a different generation. Maybe that's the way I'm looking at this.
Okay. Well, tell us.
And I'm looking at it from.
You might be missing that. Tell us what that perspective is from you.
Yeah, I'm looking at it from. And like Statewide said, it's taken us as a people. It has taken us so long to get into all of these things and these places.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the Oscars, the Grammy, all of that stuff.
Grammys, right.
I grew up in a time where you didn't see a lot of African Americans winning all of these things and representing us. And we can,
right.
like the Oscars, we can go back to Hattie McDaniels. Back with Gone with the Wind and how she won, but she had to say a canned speech about her
Word.
And winning and
right.
representing her people and all this other stuff. So
her career
gone,
never even went anywhere after that win, by the way.
Yeah, and I think it took, what, till the 60s, Carrie? Until Sidney Poitier?
Well, right. She was the first to win an Academy Award, African-American, for her role
right.
in Gone with the Wind. She played the maid, of course, everybody knows. I do want to say this, and Sidney Poitier went on to win. He was the first to win a male Academy Award. And I've got to say this. Let me just be real clear about this for Best Acting. The whole thing, and I don't know how you feel about this, Nicole. I don't know how you feel about this, Katrina. And I don't know how Statewide Chip feels about this or Michael Hopkins. But the hashtag, I don't know if you guys remember this. This was trending on social media a few years back called Oscar So White. Now, I'm not trying to bring in the subject of race. I'm not trying to make anybody feel badly. About race, but this was what was trending on social media, that Oscars did not have enough representation by people of color.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think, I forget who it was, I think Nicole pointed out all the accomplishments tonight of the night in question that so many folks who were connected with the broadcast were
right.
people of color. So so I guess I should direct this to you, Nicole, then. How do you feel about that, Nicole, from Water Valley? Do you think, is Oscar still so white?
I do remember that hashtag, and I do feel, in general, it is white and has been white. But we have made, as African Americans, we've made great strides for our representation. And we had a lot of that representation more so than we've had in previous Oscars award shows. And we had that, you know, at this Oscars. That's what made this so important
special.
And
yeah.
so,
yeah.
yeah, so special. Just because you had the first African-American producer of the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is not being talked about. Yes, it was mentioned
right.
when it talks, you know, in the story, but that's not the headline. The headline
right.
is what happened between Will and Chris Rock. And that's just so sad. And it is a set. I agree that it is a setback for us because who knows
yeah.
now what's going to happen for future Oscar shows.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. That part.
Will we still be invited? Will there be
right.
movies that will actually have actors that will actually win Oscars? Or will they take a second look and say, hey, you know, after what happened,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe we won't
now
be invited.
Now they have an excuse. Right. Now
exactly.
they have an excuse for it to be Oscar So White. And then they have a reason
exactly.
to justify it being Oscar So White. And
it's
kind of sad because you would have – It's sad to say, but we would have expected something like that to happen at the BET Awards or the Source
right,
Awards
the Source
or
Awards.
Something like
right.
that. You would have something like that where it's mostly us. Then
right.
then the for it to be happening at such a white collar event like, you know, the Oscars
right.
and stuff like that doesn't
awards,
happen. So now
though.
There's people right. So now that gives them the room to say, well, see, this is why we kept it this way. This is why they're saying Oscars for white. But ever since it's been Oscars for white, there's never been no incidents like that. Now the first time that we have all these black folks in here who are nominated and winning things that are there.
Well, the diversification,
that's
what
issue.
They've been looking for. So
right, but
it
look at
like
what happened.
They found it.
Look at what happened.
Right? I've got to turn to you, Katrina. What do you say when you hear this? Is this what we should be known as the black folks? Are we prone to this kind of thing? I think not. But is this what the takeaway
no.
might be for some?
Yeah, that might be what the takeaway might be. But I still got a whole total different perspective on the whole video myself, even
oh,
after, like I told
yeah.
you, I keep watching it. You know,
yeah.
even though I say I blame both of them, I still think it was staged. The more and more
you
look at it.
You think it was staged? Now, hold it.
I still
kind of
think so, too.
If you look
okay.
at it, he did not. If you keep actually looking at it, he did not touch Chris Rock.
No.
You don't think so?
No, there were people there.
He did not
you
touch it. I'm telling you, you can zoom it in, go real, real slow. And the ratings was down for the Oscars. And the only reason why I'm saying this is because anywhere else on BET, even on like BET and any other show, I'm telling you, security would get up if they see anybody feel like they finna come do an altercation. They did not get up. They did not jump up. Nobody moved when Will Smith got up and walked up there on that stage and go to Chris Rock.
Or
okay,
when he walked
so,
off. He walked up there and walked off. Nobody's concerned.
And he walked up here and he walked out. And he had a grin on his face when he walked out. I don't know if anybody
yeah,
paid
Katrina,
attention.
You gotta,
but
you
he had a grin.
Because I remember that part myself. And
yeah.
I thought it was kind of odd.
That's why I thought it was.
Okay, so
I
hold
on.
I just want to make sure this is clear. Is there anybody who does not agree with that theory? Nicole, you
that
think it was also staged?
I didn't zoom in to see what Katrina is speaking of. I saw the video, but I didn't zoom in like she's speaking of. And I didn't think it was staged. I wouldn't think that the ratings were down for this historic accomplishment for so many African Americans. I wouldn't think that they would stage something like this because this is all that's being talked about. It's not
yes.
the accomplishments that were made.
Yes.
So I don't feel like
yes.
it was staged.
Yeah, Katrina,
and I understand
let me
that, but you know, Chris Rock isn't
because...
the one, and it's a white, I'm sorry, but it's a white lady who does and writes all the jokes for the Oscars. I'm sorry, I have been doing my history. I have been reading up on it ever since all this and everything have been going on. I've been on different platforms listening and reading. So Chris Rock is basically reading off of a deal that he has to go off of and read while he's up there on stage. It's not no actually joke that he's wrote and told.
You know the key card.
Someone else
is
right.
writing a joke.
Well, hold it. Let me say this. Chris Rock is a talented comedian, and he's well equipped to write his own jokes. Now, I do want to say this. It is not staged, and I'll tell you why it's not staged. First of all, the folks behind the Academy, you have to look at Katrina. These are kind of conspiracies that are floated out there on social media. But when you peel it back, you have to see who would benefit from staging an event. Now, you really don't have to worry about the ratings. Oscars is the biggest live event on TV, period, would it be? That's number one. Number two, because in recent years they were dealing with the hashtag #OscarsSoWhite, it's not a secret, and it's not being racist. This is what the facts are. And so they made special efforts over the last several years to address that. And they finally brought it to culmination in this particular recent event. Now, did something happen? Yes. But there's truly not a correlation between that and being black. There's not a correlation between that and in recent, a joke from, I believe, 6 years ago. It doesn't seem that that was the case because no one would have sat there and laughed at on camera at the joke if they felt in their feelings about a joke from 6 years ago. So, and there was no right-wing conspiracy about the, you know, that kind of thing, or that they were had worked on it and it was a Hollywood type of moment. You've got an audience full of people, and Will Smith is, while he won an Oscar, he's not quite that good of an actor to have and pulled off this level of a stunt in which he could lose his Oscar. I think we might be confusing him with that other fellow. What's that fellow from that other TV show, Empire, who claimed those two fellows? You know, so we're not, this is a different person that we're talking about here. And Chris Rock, they're both multimillionaires. Nobody's going to, you know, to jeopardize their careers. So that, right. That's just a lot of conspiracy theory-ish type stuff that's floated out on social media. So I just want to set the record straight. It is not staged. We need to find out what happens from this point forward. If anything that I'm grateful about is that the conversation about alopecia is front and center. And how many days have you guys listened on the Hair Radio Morning Show? Is there ever a day that goes by that we don't talk about alopecia? I think we've been beating the drum about alopecia for 25 years.
Right.
And so, as I said in my statement that I issued and released on social media, I'm happy that the rest of the world has caught up to the Hair Radio Morning Show. So this is interesting, and we're going to continue to follow this as we move along. And in the interim, I want to thank Michael Hopkins of Vet Talk Radio Show to invite you to tune in every Tuesday at 8:30 Eastern for the special editions, of course, of the Vet Talk Radio Show. And Michael Hopkins, that's a part of our Hair Radio Morning Show wheel. So stay tuned for more information about that, or visit us at our website at HAIradio.com and hit the Vet Talk Radio tab. And I want to thank Katrina and Nicole, both who worked with Michael on that show. And, of course, again, Michael Hopkins, the illustrious host of the program. Thank you, guys. And then with just as much fervor, I want to thank Statewide Chip, who's always a reliable colleague in this business. And Statewide, we're going to have to get you with your own show. You have a lot of great opinions and great things to say and share. So we'll have to talk about that, getting Statewide Chip his own broadcast out there at some point.
Oh, wow. So we will. I'm excited. All right.
Awesome. All right. Everybody, thank you so much for being my guest today. Thank you. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
Thank you, too, Carrie.
Awesome.
After day for day.
Hopkins. Good morning. We, you know, you have built a brand new fan base in addition to the Vet Talk fans who follow you now and listen to you as part of the Hair Radio Morning Show. So, first of all, good morning and welcome again.
Good morning, Carrie Hines. It's another beautiful day down here in Spotsylvania, Virginia.
Spotsylvania, Virginia. So, Michael Hopkins, what do you say? Because it's been a while. You've been a big part of this. I myself would have never thought, would have dreamt that you would have become such an integral part of the Hair Radio Show. I was well aware of your expertise and incredible knowledge, endless knowledge on claims and completing claims on behalf of the veterans for the Vet Talk Radio Show that you do each week. But I was surprised to see that you've become a superstar of the network and making a contribution to the Hair Radio Morning Show each day. So what has – let's go back. We got to start at the beginning because I want everybody to understand how this is, you know, all come about and in celebration for 1 year, literally crossing the one-year mark on the network. So let's go back. Michael, what started all of this? You know, how did all of this begin for you and your journey with Hair Radio?
Well, Karen, it really started, I'd say, actually in 2018, when I, just like every other vet, I start filing for claims and the frustration and so forth. And as time went on, I began to understand the claims process. Once I understood it, I began to get rated for things or get compensation. As we move forward, what was going on when I met you, I became such a strong advocate for other veterans. And I would do my very best to explain things to them because, to me, nobody was explaining to a lot of us as veterans about the compensation system, how it works, what you have to do, what works, what does not work. And it's frustrating. And through my frustration, and I began to learn, and then I met you, and you had this beautiful format. And what I wound up doing, I just kept thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it and praying on it and thinking about it. And I got up the courage one day to ask you what were your thoughts on the format that you have with the Hair Radio Network on that format, talking to veterans about the disabilities that they have and compensation that they're entitled to because these things happen to them while in service to our great country.
Yes.
And I was just really in shock when you told me, you basically said, yes, I mean, it sounds interesting. And I explained some more things to you about compensation, what happens, and veterans. And there were things that, you know, later on you explained to me that you really didn't know about. You're like most civilians. You've always thought, like most civilians, that, oh, the government takes care of the veterans, so it shouldn't be a problem. And the more I explained to you, the more intrigued you got. And you were like,
well,
really?
That's exactly correct, Michael Hopkins. Just like many of your fans now, we know many of the veterans already experienced a lot of this that you have shared. And many of the civilian listeners that you have on the Vet Talk Radio Show have become aware. So your broadcast has just reached across the board, literally. To kind of educate and inform everybody. And so, yes, I'm raising my hand because I was one of those. And when you came to the show, to the network, I thought that it could work. And I wanted to do whatever I could to assist the veterans. Any little thing I could do that I didn't even know that I had the power to do. And so to be able to use Hair Radio, which is about hair beauty and community. So the Vet Talk aspect just fits right into that. It's a another part to the big story at the network. And I'm glad that we have Michael Hopkins to share this. And, you know, when we look back, it's been well over a year. So how does that feel, Michael, to have been at this for over a year on our network?
Oh, it feels fantastic, Karen. It really does. I have so many of my veteran brothers and sisters that listen in and they reach out to me and they thank me for doing this. And, you know, I've answered a lot of their questions, a lot of their frustrations. You know, they just like most of us veterans, Carrie Hines, we just a voice. We just want to be heard. That's all we ask. We serve this country. Things happen to us, and we just want to be heard. And it just makes me feel so good that I'm doing my part to help other veterans, you know, just to help them. It makes me feel good.
Yeah. And I feel the same way here by extension, just to be able to support your efforts. I think it's grown for me because I was unaware. And I think, you know, I can't do enough, and I'm now looking for different ways that I can help to advocate for the efforts of the veterans and recognizing what they've done and appreciating the veterans. We're going to do everything we can at our network and as a society, try to help move society to understand that veterans need help. And we need to help. Okay, so Michael, I'm just again, you've got a big following at this point, and I'm so proud because you know folks say, well, how can I read about you? Are you on the internet? And yes, you are. They can tune into your show right at you know, on Tuesday mornings as part of the wheel on the Hair Radio Morning Show, but at about 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, but also by staying in touch and connecting with the Vet Talk Radio Show itself by going to the website at www.hairadio.com, hairradio.com, and you'll see Vet Talk Radio has its own page, its own tab. And once you click on that, you'll be able to listen to different broadcasts, different shows that have aired, interviews, special, all kinds of wonderful information that we've put together just for the fans of the Vet Talk Radio Show. So, Michael Hopkins, what are some of the subjects? You've covered a lot in this year. What are some of the subjects that kind of jumped out and some of your favorite shows? I've got a couple to mention, too. But what would you say was your, you know, one of your favorite shows that you did in this past year on the Vet Talk Radio Show?
Well, Carrie, one of my favorite shows that I really enjoyed, and I get a lot of feedback from veterans, is when I talked about the 10 disabilities that most veterans have. We did that countdown.
Oh, yeah. That was your first, I think, official countdown on the show that we did.
I still get people that they're just blown away with that.
Yes. You know what we did, Michael, as a producer and a program producer, what I try to do with what you're doing is take sometimes these are tough topics and tough things to digest. But we try to put it into lighter format programming so that we can kind of, you know, make it a little bit more bite-sized pieces type thing and that people can understand and follow along with. It's important information, so we want to make sure everybody gets it. And I think you do that, you help to execute that in a really good way. And so that I can understand. I remember doing those countdown shows. We did quite a few of those, and inspired by the success of that one. And that particular one that you said is out there, and you can Google that subject out there through the internet. It was turned into its own podcast special. So real good stuff, Michael Hopkins. You've done some other things, some other shows as well that folks have really paid attention to. I think for me, one of the big things that you did that always stayed with me was the interviews that you had. You've done a couple of amazing interviews. I think one of the early interviews that you did was with Captain Hervey, and that has been a staple on our website and the Vet Talk Radio page because it was so very telling. It was very graphic, but it was very it was chock full of information. And so, in addition to you know, you just you open up our eyes every week. That goes without saying. But I think that was one of my favorites. I love that, you know, you do the interviews and just you always have a good way about bringing and sharing information. And usually you share about your own life, you know, things that most people would probably think about before sharing. You just go jump right on in. And so that's what is very pleasing. For me to be aware of and to be part of this whole process. So I love that. And we've got to talk about your fans. Michael, you've got to shout out some of these folks that you know who have listened to your show. They really listen to every episode. They listen to every episode. And what's some of the feedback? You kind of touched on it earlier, but what's some of the things that they are telling you when you go to these in-person meetings with the vet and they share about the VCR show?
Oh, a lot of times, Carrie, when I talk to my fellow veterans,
yeah,
I usually talk about things that they're currently suffering from. And a lot of times they're suffering in silence because they really didn't want to talk about it or they didn't think much of it, and they just learned how to suck it up. And then when I put it out there on the program, and they listen, and they go, oh, wow, I have that. Or, you know, like you alluded to, I talk about myself personally because I want everybody to know I'm a real veteran. I did real service in the military, and I'm 100% disabled because of my military service. You know, this isn't lip service. This is for real. And a lot of the feedback I get from my other veterans, very positive. They suffer from the same things I suffer, Carrie. They go through what I go through, the ups, the downs, the mental health stuff, the aches, the pain, the chronic pain, the going to the VA hospital, dealing with the medical people, and they deal with all of that on a daily, monthly, yearly basis so they can relate to what I'm saying. And so many of them have given me just accolades, and they cheer me on, and great job. And, I mean, that was a great show. And I have one of my, I guess we can call him my A number one fan, Mr. Larry Hilton, and he's in one of my veterans groups.
Shouting out Larry, of course.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, great guy. And he always listens, and he's always, that was a great show, man. I mean, I really enjoyed it. And there's nothing more, Carrie, than when you hear from these guys, and it's up close and personal, and sometimes a lot of the guys, a lot of the female veterans, tears in their eyes. Or they want to hug me because I've touched on something in their lives that even their families don't know about them. That their families don't know how they're suffering. They just know that they're suffering. I've had sometimes some of the wives of some of the veterans come up to me, and some of them are in tears, and they say, I never knew. I knew he had some kind of problem, but he never talked to me about it. And when I describe the issue potentially a veteran is having, a light bulb goes off, Carrie Hines. That light bulb goes off. You can't ask for anything better than that in a veteran when they finally concede that they need help. They're not the big and bad tough guy that they used to be. They're not that person anymore. And I tell them when I go to a lot of my veterans meetings and organizations that I'm a member of as a veteran, I just tell them the truth. And I say, look, we're not on active duty anymore. We're not. We're older now. Those things we did when we were younger, we did what we call high-speed, low-drag stuff, and we jumped out of airplanes. We were hard-charging. And as a result of doing all of those things, now in the latter years of our lives, we have other medical issues now that we're dealing with. We're not on active duty anymore. We need to deal with these things. And we need to be honest with ourselves. A lot of times I tell veterans, I say, the problem is, the person that we're not being honest with is ourselves. And a lot of times I teach them how to tell the truth about themselves. Because I had to come to grips with it, Carrie Hines. I had
That's
to come to grips
sounds
with
like.
It.
Yeah, it sounds like sometimes you're not willing to accept what's really staring us in the face. For whatever
right.
reason, you want to layer it with other things or just be in denial. Michael Hopkins, I have to say, what are you looking, where are you looking to take this show? What would be the ultimate greatest reward for Michael Hopkins and the veterans if you were to do that with it? So what
my ultimate thing?
Yes.
My ultimate thing would be to take it on the road. And meet with a lot of my vet fans and just meet with veterans in general.
You mean like a little vet tour?
Right, just like a vet tour and talk to them about the disabilities that they have. And just...
Well, Michael, you put it out there today, and I'm going to promise you that we will do just that. So you heard it right here today on this broadcast, and we're going to make that happen. For you, Michael Hopkins, your commitment to this broadcast and this network and to all of the veterans. Again, I'm Carrie Hines. I salute you. We appreciate you. And thank you so much for being a fan of the Vet Talk Radio Show and the Hair Radio Network. Michael Hopkins, what's your famous tagline that you always end the Vet Talk Radio shows with?
Carrie Hines is all about the vets.
Okay, and we're going to shout out to Michael's incredible producers, the Michael's Angels panel. All right, Michael, thank you so much for being a special guest on the Hey Radio Morning Show, crossing over 1 year of the Vet Talk Radio Show.
Wow, it's just Carrie, it's just unbelievable.
Well, thank you so much, Michael. Okay, we'll see you at the next anniversary. All right, folks, thank you so much. Stay with us.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes, hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful, and moreover, to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage and, moreover, manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media, where business is just starting out. So I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram. Awesome. And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. I have a very special guest joining us. Now, she's from the world of nutrition. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome Jackie. Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning. Good morning, Kerry. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Now, I do want to clarify, you're not just nutrition. You are actually all about healthy living. You have to tell us more about it.
Yes, I mean, I do like to cook, and that's part of the some of the things that I like to do, Jack Rabbit plant-based cooking. But I also just like to talk about healthy living as well. You know, I want to be able to share some things with your audience and, you know, about healthy living. I want to be able to introduce, you know, nutrition. I want to talk about exercise, water, sunshine, temperance, air, and rest. And, you know, just trusting in the divine power and how important all of this is regarding our health and our nutrition. So it's just a whole gamut of things, you know. Eating right, nutrition is the number one thing, but there's other things that we need to be doing that we need to incorporate in our lives each and every day.
And what are some of those other things, too, that we should be doing?
Some of those things that we should be doing outside of nutrition is, you know, we should be exercising every day. And when we think about exercise, we don't necessarily have to think about it as something like, you know, having a membership at a gym. It can be something as simple as walking every day, which is probably the best thing that, you know, we can do as far as exercise, you know, because we're stretching when we exercise, we're moving our limbs when we exercise, you know, we're getting sunshine, which is part of that, you know, staying healthy. We're going to intake some water because, you know, we need that hydration, and we need rest. And so in order to get that exercise in, we need to learn how to properly, you know, rest our bodies. You know, we need to
No, that was just, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yes. Well, what I'm getting from all of this, Jackie, is that for me, I look at making a big pizza pie. And each slice represents one of these things that you've just mentioned right here. And if you remove it, then it's missing a piece of that pie. It doesn't incorporate the whole pie. Somebody's ate a slice, basically. So you want to really start to focus on pulling everything together, and I think this is just awesome. And I want to back it up a little bit. You know, for our listeners out there, let's just let folks know, you will be joining the lineup right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, I'm proud to say. So it's really great to have you coming on board to share these regular segments on healthy living. And again, healthy living incorporates so much. It's not just one little slice, pardon the pun. You know, it incorporates so many things, as you've just pointed out. So, Jackie, I kind of want to back up a little bit. Let's kind of start with this. Tell the folks where you are based out of. How did you become a healthy living czar? How did all this happen? How did this all start for you?
Okay, sure. Well, I'm based out of Minnesota, and it all started back when I was let's just say 16, because 16 is when I gave up beef meat, and I've always had an interest in healthy living, and so, you know, as the years go by and as you get older, you realize, you know, I need these things as a part of my life in order to, you know, live the best that I can in my best life. And so that's kind of how it all got started, you know, just me stopping eating beef and then just, you know, doing reading and just, you know, trying to cook and just live, you know, healthy. And
well, what made you give up the beef at 16?
Well, years ago, my mother had gone to a place where she was learning on nutrition and health. And so she came back and she talked to us about it. And I think I just decided, you know, not to eat beef anymore. I never was a big meat eater growing up anyway, because I just didn't like the texture. You know, some of us are texture eaters, you know, like, say, for an example, some people just hate tofu because it's just too soft. And so I just do not.
I'm raising my hand right now in case you didn't know that out there.
Right. So, you know, texture sometimes has a lot to do with things as far as why we eat things, why we don't eat things. But, yeah, so I just decided to give up beef and, you know, just reading things about beef and knowing that it wasn't really the best, you know, meat for us at that time. So I figured if I was going to start somewhere, let me start with the beef. And we never ate pork, so my next meat would have been beef. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is just interesting. So I find this really fascinating. And I think that the fans out there, and you guys, you'll be able to pass along whatever questions you have for Jackie, who will be talking about this with her Healthy Living segment right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show each week. Now, I want to be clear. So your 30-minute show within a show will be starting soon on our network. So we're going to keep you guys out there informed so that you'll know when to tune in. And until then, you can reach out to Jackie right through our Salon TV Network app here at Hair Radio, so which is just awesome. You can download the app at the Google Play Store, Salon TV Network, and you'll be able to connect with Jackie through that. Now, I'm excited about this Jack Rabbit Eats. So this is the wonderful healthy living segment that is going to be plant-based cooking. Now, Jack, I got to ask you, Jackie, what's the name Jackrabbit all about? The listeners would never let me live it down if I didn't ask you the name Jackrabbit. So what is that all about?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Carrie, because, you know, it's just my name is Jackie, as I mentioned, and I'm the youngest of six children. And so my family called me Jackrabbit. And so that was a nickname that was given to me by my dad.
And
so when I decided to do plant-based cooking, it had nothing to do with the fact that rabbits, you know, they don't eat meat. And nothing at all. It was just fitting for the fact that I eat plant-based, you know. And so that's where the name Jackrabbit Eats plant-based cooking comes from. So it's just a family nickname, and I just incorporated it into what I like to do.
Well, it gets no better than that. That was just the divinity of it all. I just think it's amazing. It really is. Well, listen, I am excited to have you here on the network, as I mentioned. What would you like to see yourself bringing to this whole piece of the pie? And why did you want to come to our network? Share that with everybody.
Well, I just wanted to be able to relate a message out there regarding healthy living and just let people know that it's nothing, you know, really hard to do. It's something that, yeah, we have to try to do every day, you know, regardless whether it's eating right or nutrition, whether it's exercising, whether it's drinking enough water or, you know, making sure we get enough sunshine, you know. I just want people to live their best life and live as healthy as you possibly can, because I think it's just very important for us as, you know, as people in this world. It just gives us clarity in our thinking. It just introduces us to an awesome way of, you know, just being healthy and sharing that healthiness with others and, you know, and just being happy. And when we're happy, we want to share things. I mean, I do. I like to share things with people when it makes me happy and makes me feel good.
Awesome. Can say it no better than that. Well, listen, I want to thank you so much. Did you have anyone you want to shout out to before we sign off?
Sure. I want to give a shout out to my family, you know, my husband who has been behind me with this and who has encouraged me to go ahead and do this, Michael. I want to give a shout out to my sister, Alicia, who has also encouraged me to, you know, to step out there, get out of my comfort zone And just anybody that I know, I can't call everybody by name, but just know that I love you and that if you're listening to this broadcast, I hope that it brings you inspiration and I hope it brings you encouragement.
It gets no better than that. However, it does, because you're also going to be doing a series of videos of cooking demonstration videos. Again, plant-based, I call it healthy cooking. It's healthy living segment, and you're going to be doing a version of this exclusively for our Salon TV network. So as long as you have our app, you'll be able to watch Jackie on camera leading you throughout your healthy living. And again, she's going to be talking about a whole lot of wonderful things, and we just so support you, and we look so forward to all of this. Again, I want to thank you for being with us this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Carrie.
All right. Keep it right here. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to come. Stay with us. All right. You are listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. It's Friday, everybody, August 26th. We are live, as you can tell. We're live on this Friday morning. I just want to take a moment to welcome everybody to Fan Day Friday. It's about 7:32 New York time, 6:32 if you're out in the central time zone. I'm bringing to the line Nicole Marie. Nicole Marie, sometimes I'm just chatting up a storm here. Good morning, mid-show.
Good morning,
happy
good
mid-show
morning.
To you.
Yes,
to all our
mid-show.
Fans.
Happy mid-show. Happy Fan Day Friday to all of our fans. Welcome.
Yes. Big, big welcome. Yeah, so today we've been, you guys just heard from Jackrabbit Eats, and that's Jackie out of, now Jackie started out in the St. Louis area, and she should be with us soon live with
some more
new recipes and all of that. So we're going to get into that. That's kind of where we're going to lead in, or I should say end up with our amazing live panel this morning on some of these wonderful things in terms of, are they
I'm excited
kitchen
to hear
folk?
That.
That's what I want to find out. Are you guys kitchen folk? And you know what kitchen folks mean? If you're making, you know, if you can get in the kitchen and do, you know, make the food sing. That's what I want to know. Are you a kitchen folk? So we'll talk about that. But first, let's bring to the line another amazing contributor to this broadcast every day. She's on with us, mid-show, and we're just so happy. Now, you guys know I'm in Brooklyn, New York. Nicole Marie is out of Water Valley, Mississippi, and Blue.
Yay.
We're talking, of course, about Blue down in Jacksonville, Florida.
Good morning.
Does such an incredible job with Divine Energy Candles. And we're bringing Blue to the Hair Radio Morning Show right now. Good morning, Blue. You're on with Nicole Marie, Tabra Hines, and all fans of the show. We welcome you this morning. How are you?
Wonderful. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Friday. Happy Friday.
Yeah. Exactly. Happy Friday back at you.
Oh,
yes. Well, listen, I don't know if you've been hearing what we've been talking about on Friday, and we're talking so much about the kitchen this morning and getting food and getting our, you know, we always talk about breakfast stuff and coffee and what you do, as you know. but just curious what, you know, Blue this morning on our fan question of the day. Are you one of those kitchen folks? Do you know how to grease a pan? Oh, that's real country and South. I'm sorry, folks. And my family, big time from North Carolina. But have you guys even heard of greasing a pan? You know what I'm talking about. You guys may not be from the South. You heard that before, Blue.
I have not.
You've never heard that. What about you?
I've heard that before.
Nicole, you have?
I have heard that before. Yes, I have.
You know I'm country, then. I think I let the cat out of the bag this morning. I really, you know what I have to say. I talked about a lot of stuff here on this show over 20-something years, literally. Over 20-something years.
But I have got to say, I never thought I'd be saying greet a fan ever. I really have to say, okay, I'm moving on, folks. We are moving on this morning. Listen, I'm happy to have you with us, Blue. You got to save me here, Blue. How's divine energy candles this morning? Let us move to the candle of the day. Queen of candles. I'm turning it over to you this morning. What have you got for us, Blue?
I'm getting ready for the weekend. You know, it's Friday, so... You know, yes. Everybody wants to pretty much relax and try to take the load off if they can. But I feel like the fragrance for today is fitting for the weekend because in some areas they can have a nice bonfire. And so that's the scent of the scent. That's what the scent is, bonfire. It has a warm,
which
rich,
I love the name
scent.
Bonfire,
yes.
Yeah, I have to say, you're so talented and stylish, because you have to be stylish, Blue, to come up with these incredible
names.
Yeah, they're all incredible. I really mean that.
Well,
I don't know what it is. Yeah, that how you are able to do that, I think that's a special talent or something.
Yes, I love the name.
A lot of the names, some of them I rename myself. Others, if I like the scent that I order from the candle companies, if the name is fitting for the scent, then I leave it the way they have it. And if not,
do they usually have great names?
Some of them do. And then some of them, if I have to mix up fragrances, then I like to, you know, put my own twist and spin on names. Yeah.
Okay. And then you rename it. Okay.
I do. I rename a lot of them. Yes.
Okay. Because it seems to me that the name really helps tremendously, because it makes it,
does.
I guess it, to me it sounds like it makes it memorable.
Right.
Exactly.
It's more attractive.
Until we smell it. Yes. And then
the way that you describe it, we can almost smell the candle as you're talking about the ingredients and so forth. We can almost already smell it.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
So that's wonderful.
So bonfire is, it has a warm, rich scent of like a blazing bonfire smoke. Then it opens up into a smoked maple with a caramelized vanilla and dry wood.
Okay. Listen to you, smoke maple. I mean, good grief. folks, if you're just tuning in, and I'm letting Blue have it this morning because she just brings it every day. And one of our fans,
I happened
to be talking yesterday with one of the fans, and we'll shout out Queen Treats. You hear her doing her shout outs every day on the show. And she's like, she just loved Blue. She said that you were so great yesterday. She was listening to the show. And it was something that, you had mentioned. She talked about lupus, and she talked about some of the other things she talked about. She talked about
alopecia.
The candles. Your candid talk, your just straightforward talk resonates with so many people. And it is, and I really mean that. It's always a great honor when you join us. We look forward to, you know, doing the candle talk each day.
Oh, yeah.
That says
a
lot.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad it can be helpful to a lot of people. That's good.
Yeah. And
people,
well, you're inspiring to folks. You know, like Michael and Nicole Marie, you each bring something, a special element to this broadcast. And we love it here, and the fans of the show appreciate it, and this is just the beginning. So,
I'm very grateful for my new family, so thank you, guys.
We're grateful for you.
You've been here all along, Nicole Marie.
Exactly. It fits right in with our family. Yes.
Yes,
we're so grateful to have you and appreciate you and what you bring.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Now, what about the, we mentioned it yesterday, but I just want to remind people that coming up next month in September, you've already told us, you gave us a little preview, an early preview yesterday of the candle of the month for September. Can you just remind everybody a little bit about that, Blue, and what makes that candle so special for September?
Now I got a brain. I don't want to say on the radio, but yeah.
Oh, okay. I remember gingerbread martini. So let me just, thank you so much, honey.
Thank you. Yeah.
Let me give you guys a little bit of radio tips here. And this is for everybody. If you ever wanted to go into interviewing and show business type stuff and doing radio, I learned from the masters of asking questions. And this is a real good tip. And that is that every time you ask a question on radio or whatever it is that you're doing in show business stuff, you already know the answer. And if you don't know the answer, then don't ask the question. That's show business. That's real interview talk and my 27 years of experience. So actually longer than that, to be honest. It's just the Hair Radio Show is 27. But, yeah, so real good stuff. But is that not something? Is that not crazy? But, yes, gingerbread. I love gingerbread martini.
I love it. Yeah, but that's good for the holidays, too, and for all year round, actually. You know what I'm saying? Because, it had, like I said, it's the cinnamon, cloves, sweet vanilla, baked apples, and that splash of rum. You know, we can't go wrong with a splash of rum. And it does have some coconut in it.
And in some cases, a little bit more than a splash.
But it's a nice one.
It is
coconut milk and stuff in there, too. It's really soft. It's a really soft, powerful scent.
Well, it's a great, like I said, it's a great name. And you give it such a great description, like Nicole Marie was saying earlier. You put such emphasis on these beautiful names of what you're doing and stuff, and it sells it to us.
It does.
Because we can picture. And it just resonates. So good stuff. Okay.
Well, I'm going to
park this. So we have a lot to look forward to from Divine Energy Candles. As we said, you guys can go check out the site. Place an order, everybody. Let us clearly say that. And listen, you call me Blue. We have to catch up after this show. Okay, later during the day when you have 5 seconds, okay?
Yeah, definitely.
Fine. We'll do that, Blue, because we've got a lot to get you. We got to really get Divine Energy Candles out there, and we are excited about all that. So lots to come from Divine Energy Candles, which is just amazing. So real good stuff. All right. So we're bringing at the record company, Michael would be a label mate artist, co-artist with all of us and all of that. But here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, he's a part of our stablemate here. He's a stablemate for the broadcast, always talking vet talk and all the wonderful things. We're happy to have him join in on the conversation this morning. So, Michael Hopkins, good morning out of beautiful Boston, Virginia. Happy mid-show. We're about to go into our spotlight hour. We're going to talk about that in just a bit. But happy to have you join in. You've been listening. What have you been hearing? Michael Hopkins.
Oh, yeah. Bringing back memories of Grandma and Ma greasing that pan. Oh, yeah.
Michael's heard of that.
Take us back to greasing the pan. I'm going to kill Michael on that one.
Oh, yeah.
You knew he was going back, Gary. You knew he was not going to miss that.
You know what? I said I hope Michael did not hear about greasing the pan.
We were talking
about the kitchen talk. We had on Jackrabbit Eats. Now, she's the exact opposite of greasing the pan.
This is true. More like she's greasing the vegetables.
She's into vegetables. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, and I learned to cook just a few years ago. Just so, you know, I think the fans of the show know this already. I started cooking about 4.5-5 years ago. After St. Patrick's Day, I started my very first dish that I made was corned beef and cabbage. And I shared all that.
Okay.
It's all on my Instagram at Heinz Carey. If you go to my Instagram page at Heinz Carey, HINESKERRY, and go back down, you'll see my dishes. I literally, the fans followed my journey into cooking. So you'll see all my dishes. Oxtails was one of my other favorites. And so I'm literally making them right now as we speak live on the air this morning. Literally, I'm running and doing all of that as we talk. And that's what I love about the broadcast every day. We get to just do so much. So, Michael, that's, you know, I was just letting them have it about greasing the pan, so to speak, and all of that kind of stuff. And so I have to ask Michael. So, Michael, you're from Philadelphia. So what do you know about greasing the pan?
Hey, my folks were country folks. We may have been city folks from Philly, but our essence was country folks. We were from South Carolina.
Yours?
So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, we was country folks. So all them dishes and things you talk about, Carrie, oh, yeah, that was a staple. In my family, Thanksgiving, Christmas dinner, family visiting from out of town was a big deal. It was a big deal. You know, you had to be on your best behavior as a kid. Everybody was aunts and uncles. We had to do the hug line. I mean, and I miss that stuff. And my oldest daughter still does it as a tradition. And food is definitely a big part of it. Definitely. And my cousins back home, it's so funny sometimes when I talk to them, and I usually talk to them like on a weekly basis, one of the things she asks me is, what you have for dinner? What you eat for lunch? And we go through this ritual of telling each other what we ate and which cousin can cook. I got one cousin, my cousin Kim. She has taken over the mantle of being the family cook for us. So anything from hoagies to seafood to just whatever your heart desires.
What a hoagie is, Michael. So we
I forgot. I'm from Philadelphia, like Carrie Hines.
You can tell that's a Philly line.
Yeah,
even
it's
people
a Philadelphia
York,
hoagie. Let's get that straight. Don't get it twisted. From Philadelphia, it's the bread, the meat, the mayonnaise, the cheese. All those things are staples in Philadelphia.
I wonder, did Blue ever know about hoagies? That's what I'm wondering.
Oh, from Jersey? Yeah, I'm sure she did. Yeah, some point in her career, Karen. She had to. Jersey is so close to Philly. You know, migration. Those hoagies migrate. I've seen it happen. Jersey Mike's. Have you ever heard of
Jersey
Mike's?
Yes, I've heard of that.
Right,
we had it
down here. Almost blew my diet sitting up there eating at Jersey Mike's. Dinaceous sandwiches.
Jersey Mike's. Well, Blue, let me let you answer that question. Had you heard of the hoagies, really?
Oh, absolutely. Like you said, I'm from Jersey. I used to go to Gaetano's, and I used to go to all the really good hoagie spots in Philadelphia, right there on the corner. Was that Gino's, Gaetano's, or something?
Oh, yeah. Man, you really going in.
Well, yeah, that's going in deep.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh. Well, I have two that I go to. I have two, one right up the street from me that I go to all the time, Jersey Mike. Yes.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Now, let me ask you guys, you know better than I do, do they actually call them Hokies at Jersey Mike?
Pretty much.
They call them like submarines and stuff like that. They don't.
Yeah,
I've never heard the word Hokie up here in Brooklyn.
Wow, and you know that's an old.
No,
that's
they don't
a submarine
at
comes
all
from World War II, by the way. Just throwing in a little history fact.
Michael,
yeah.
You know what, Michael Hopkins, this thing, you can tell
you
Fan Day Friday here by the time the end of the week on this show. You really can. Michael, did you just, you actually linked us to the submarine to the...
Well, yeah, they didn't have a real name for them. Matter of fact, up there in New York, they didn't have a real name for them during World War II when the guys were working on the submarine for World War II. And that's how the name came about, Submarine Sandwich.
Wow. Wow. Well, I give you credit on that one, Brother Michael. And actually, you do a great segue because we really do need to catch up with Vet Talk. And speaking of which, let's go back a little bit. This morning, we actually kicked off the show. It was kind of like Michael Hopkins Day here on the broadcast. I don't know if Michael heard, but we actually ran in the 6 o'clock hour. He was the very first leadoff that we kind of played on the show today. So it's a great way to tune back in and listen. Yes, that's McCoffee there. If you can, it really is awesome. It was really nice. And then we kind of kicked in. Well, let's see. The first hour, which I love on the playback that you guys will hear later at Upskill Magazine Radio and all of that. But the very first hour, we did another take on the big slap with Will Smith and all of them, which was different than yesterday's take. So it was really nice. And, Michael, you were part of that. And then we did a whole interview with Mike. So, Michael, you've been throughout the entire broadcast
front and center today.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Carrie and Nicole and my sister. I tell you, I'm not always an emotional person. But that was bringing tears to my eyes. It was as if I've never heard that before. And it really did, Carrie. It brought tears to my eyes because that is the way I feel about veterans. That is the way I feel about them.
Passion.
I am just so passionate because I know what they go through because I know what I go through. I know the times that I have my ankle issues, and then I'm trying to sleep at night, and then all of a sudden I have hip issues where I can't get out of the bed and neck issues. I know what it's like to have all of these things, and that's why I'm so passionate about helping veterans. That is the reason. And I thank you so much for putting that on, man. It just renews the fire in my belly, I guess you could say it that way. It really does. It makes me want to work harder. It makes me just want to discover all these things that are for veterans and for their families. And now I'm going to get real passionate for the people who weren't even veterans, but they worked with veterans in different facilities around this great country. Okay. And now they're suffering from the after effects of a lot of these toxins.
This is what your show is there to do. And it brings, like I said, it bridges the gap between those who are veterans and those who support veterans. And I just love that. And so we salute all of you. We are gracious for your efforts to bring forth and bring attention to these plights. So I thank you, Michael. And like I said, this is just the beginning. But please understand that the work is just getting started. Yes, even on the piece that you heard earlier, guys, that we mentioned. It's been a little over a year for Hopkins and the Vet Talk folks.
Yes.
And Nicole Marie, you were one of the original angels of Michael's Mike's production team. So we are real
so
excited
true.
About that. And now you guys have become superstars here on the Hair Radio Network. And you have branched off into other big things that we're going to talk
so
about
true.
Real soon here.
Yes. Oh,
and
yes.
I'm super hyped about that.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yes.
Just, you know, real good. And next week and I just want to say to the fans of VTR, of that talk radio show, that's what it stands for, VTR. You always hear us say VTR. And that is that our focus is always, as Michael indicated and has stated clearly, it's always all about the vets, and we're going to do everything that we can. And our show, it's always going to evolve. It's going to grow. It's going to become, we're always staying on top of things, whether it's technology that's helping us or whether it is new new platforms that we're introducing you to. We do that anyway here at Hair Radio. We're always on top of things. This is all that we do. You don't get the benefit of just a part-time producer. I'm here all the time working around the clock, like I say. You guys get to share a three-hour slice of my day, a window of my day, with me every day live right here on the show. However, I literally live Hair Radio all day, every day.
Oh yes, Nicole Marie and I.
Yes, you do.
We are witnesses for that.
Attest to that.
Well,
yes,
listen,
we
I am grateful. Yeah,
every
I'm grateful.
Of the day.
And I tell you, I love being. Well, thank you. I love doing this show and welcoming you guys. It's great to have Nicole Marie. It's great to have Hopkins, Michael Hopkins. It's great to have Blue. It's great to have everybody who wakes up and is part of this experience that we spend with our fans every day. But, yeah, I don't get to shake off at 9 o'clock and say, oh, what else is going on, and switch to
something.
Oh,
no, you don't. We got to – me and Nicole Marie can attest to that. Oh, yeah.
Every day.
Oh, yeah.
That's the deal. So we don't get that that ability. So that's why what you're getting every day is an organic experience. That's what I think the fans appreciate about what we're doing. And that's why I think we've been chugging along for 27 years, because I think that you guys know that. Now, in my other incarnations, before we started the morning edition 7 years ago, we were doing all kinds of things. We were on at night. We were on all this other stuff. We were on FM stations. I've been on AM stations. I've been on early. I've been on late. I've been on this and that. But we found a home at Blog Talk 7 years ago, and they've been very supportive. I know everybody over there. They're right here in New York with me, and so much other stuff. So, you know, we're doing it up, folks. And we have a wonderful life.
Oh,
every day as an entrepreneur. I have folks that we talk to every day, like my colleagues in the industry, literally. And it's fun. I love it. And, I could
definitely not do this for 27 years if this was not your love and your passion, Carrie. So
that's what it sounded like to me. Sound like passion 2.0, if you ask me.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think I've always had an interest in show business ever since I was a little kid. So that doesn't surprise me. The radio aspect came in about 94. And so that's really what started this whole thing, so to speak. And then in 95, focusing on the hair industry aspect of it, along with Center Stage. So, yeah, we've been out there for a while, beating the drum with all of this, and it's been fantastic. And we've learned a lot along the way, and we've shared a lot.
So true.
And we've shared.
You've definitely been a trailblazer.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
Thank you.
Trailblazer.
Oh, yeah. And you know, Carrie?
What's
and
that,
I
Brother
just,
Michael?
I shift a little second gear here for a moment to Blue. I love that candle that she's talking about.
Yeah.
The one,
yeah.
The bonfire.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the name bonfire is, you know, always good. And it just reminds me, isn't that kind of military-ish?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. Plus on top of that, you know where I live, in beautiful Spotsylvania, and guess what they do down here? A whole lot.
They do
bonfires?
Yes. Lots of people got lots of land, and they have nothing else to do. My son sometimes, at least once a month or so.
We can't say that to our southern folks down there.
No, we can't say that. I didn't mean it like nothing to do, but nothing like in fun. They have all kinds of fun down here that, you know, normally in the north we don't do.
Okay, we understand, brother.
Things.
Michael Hopkins can clean it up. You got 10 points for that, brother
Michael.
Yep. My son just went to a bonfire, matter of fact. One of his buddies invited him.
How about this? Let us get on some brandy and full moon. And when we come back, we've got more with Michael Hopkins. We've got more with the Hair Radio Morning Show team. Nicole Marie, you guys stay with us. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hine. We have a very special guest with us today. She is an author. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome Miss Gloria Lee. Gloria, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
I thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it is my pleasure to finally get you on our broadcast. Now, I have to just jump right on in. You are the reason we're celebrating the Women of Courage Month all month long. And I like to say this, it's not just this month, but it's every day here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we want to start by you telling the folks all about your beautiful books. You've got two, and they're titled Women of Courage. So let's start with book one. Tell us a little bit, what exactly is Women of Courage all about? Tell us.
I began writing the books because I wanted women to understand how much courage it takes to be a woman. See, our courage is not acknowledged. Men acknowledge their courage. They speak about courage on the battlefield. They speak about courage being a minister. But female courage has never been acknowledged, and that's wrong, and it has been used to enslave women because it does not let women understand the power that they have inside them. And I began writing the books because I wanted women to see other women who have succeeded because they had courage. So I had began to research my mission, actually, when this first started, was to find out why men killed women. So I began researching that. But as I began to research, I began to gather other information, and I began to see that part of the problem was the fact that women did not acknowledge themselves. Women have been told that they're servants, that they're supposed to serve. Correct. That's fine. But they haven't been told that they have a right to be their own person. And because of that, women live desperate lives. They live lives that they hate. They learn to despise themselves. And in turn, they are unhappy. For years, especially between 1920, 1950, women either drank in the basement, they'd have a little sherry every day, and then when tranquilizers became part of the vogue, especially for white women, okay, they began, the white doctors would prescribe them tranquilizers. This was based on the theory that women were hysterical, okay? So this part of their spirit had to be controlled through medication. But actually, what was happening is women were internalizing their anger and their rage because they were forced to live lives that they did not want. Let me give you an example. For years, poor women, poor white and black women, invented things, okay? I bet you do not know who actually invented the refrigerator.
No,
tell
us. I bet
you don't know who invented, oh, no, I'm not going to tell you. You're going
to look. Uh-oh.
Who invented the bulletproof vest? Now here's the secret. Men kept that a secret from women, that women invented certain things, okay? That women were chemists, women were physicists. But many of the inventions of poor white women and poor black women were stolen because when they went to have their inventions patented, the patent office told them that they couldn't, females couldn't patent inventions. Did you know that?
Well, that doesn't really surprise us, though, Gloria Lee, because that's, you know, the historical part of this whole context in this country, and that was the charge that they had. And, in fact, as you were explaining this history here about women not necessarily not being, you know, able to do certain things because they're female, but what surprises me, and I'm sure our listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show can certainly identify, is that you could almost take the word female or woman out of what you're saying and insert the word black.
Both. That's exactly what I'm saying. Any person that was not white, and I have to be careful because this is a radio show and I don't want to be vulgar. But anyway, you had to wear pants, be white and wear pants. Then you were given acknowledgement. But here's the thing. I want you to appreciate this. When the women went to the patent office to have their ideas patented, what happened to their ideas when they weren't accepted by the patent office? They were stolen. That's my point. They were stolen. And then white man walking to the patent office, his information's patent, which he stole from a female or a black person, and he made money off of it.
Now, Gloria, I do have to ask you, where, you know, because these are some pretty inflammatory claims, perhaps, that some may say. So where, what kind of research did you have to do to kind of substantiate these claims? Because you've written quite an explosive couple of books here. And we're, you know, and folks, if you're just joining us out there, let's be clear. You're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. This is a very special broadcast. And I'm Carrie Hines. And with us on the line today, we have the author of Women of Courage books, Gloria Lee. And so we love, you know, your forthrightness. But what do you say when they, when folks say, well, how can you prove certain things that you've put into the books? What do you say, Gloria Lee?
First of all, I say take the information from my book and then go to the library and verify it. It's real simple. But when you want to verify it, be prepared because this information is not consolidated, okay? It's everywhere. But you have to go into a library and pull it out of the newspapers. Who wants the world to know that women are as inventive as men? Who wants the world to know that women have as much courage as men? Nobody walking wearing pants wants that because they want the enslavement of women. It's profitable. You here, I don't want to jump ahead, but listen to me. When blacks were brought to this country, the only way they were able to control the black man was to attack the black woman. They attacked her mind. And that is the same way that the white male has been able to control the entire world is by attacking the mind to make a person feel less than or that he's not capable of. Sir, you are as capable of doing anything that you want to do if you want to do it and if you're willing to pay the price. Here, Michael Jordan, let me give you an example. I studied him, okay? When his father was murdered, it upset me. So I began to watch Michael Jordan to see how he responded. Okay, not only is he the hero, he's a black male. And I wanted to know how he was going to react to these two males. But as I was researching him, I found out how he became Michael Jordan. Do you know how long he would stay on the basketball court?
Oh, right, through the study. Yes, I heard. for hours and hours and through repetition. And
yes.
See, Gloria, I was just sharing exactly what you just mentioned. I was sharing that with a gentleman today. And I said, you know, it is through repetition and through study and just all these years of research and just, it makes you into an expert at what you do. And you may not even realize that you qualify for that level of knowledge and that
yes.
title, but you do.
That's
now,
exactly
Gloria,
how he became Mike.
I love what you say. I love everything that you have said, and I appreciate you, you know, just letting it just go on out there. I want to start, though, at the beginning. We're going to take a little bit of a turn. I want to go back to really what has kind of set you up to be Gloria Lee. So share with the Hair Radio Morning Show fans, where are you from? Where were you born? And where do you live in these days in America? So share with us some of your background. Where did you get your start?
Okay, I was born in Detroit, Michigan. And
shout out to Detroit folks. Okay, we have to do that.
I was born May 7th, 1945. I would say that there are three people that affected my personality deeply. I mean, I've been affected by lots of people, but it was my grand aunt, my father, and my mother. I had a grand aunt, and the way she earned money, she refused to work in houses, okay? She would not do day labor. She pushed a push cart, and I started working with her when I was six, and I would go with her pushing the push cart down the street, and we would pick up scrap. This is a time when tin and things like that were valuable, and you would gather this stuff up, cardboard, glass, whatever, and you push it to we would call it a refuse place now, but it was a junkyard at that time. And they would weigh the refuge, and we would get paid. Well, see, I love money. So I would always like to be with my great aunt because she would pay me at the end of the day. We would go miles and miles walking, going through refuge and picking up clothing, those sort of things. When we were walking, she would talk to me. This is years later that I realized that she was shaping my personality. The one thing that she told me that I maintained all of my life, a woman is never to be without money. I want your listeners to hear me. If you are a female, you are never to be without money. I don't care if you're hungry. Drink water. That's what she told me.
But why not?
Choice,
why not?
Listen to me. If there's a choice between eating and spending your money, you drink a glass of water. The reason why a woman is never to be without money is because you don't want to sell your body and have no man put his hands on you.
Mm.
Because that is the destruction of women. Why do you think that when warring factions took over Europe, the Russians, for really example, during World War II, do you know that the Russian army raped every female in Germany between the ages of 8 and 80? Do you know how many females they raped? Because rape is power. And it is to destroy your psyche. So therefore, if you are a woman and you do not have any money, because I was on the street when I lost everything I had. I was on the street with my son. And all I had was a car, excuse me. And I had no money. And the thought came to me. I was standing in Oak Park on Greenfield and 11 Mile Road. I was standing in the Kmart parking lot.
Oak Park, isn't that Illinois?
No, sir. That's Oak Park, Michigan. It's right
Oak Park,
outside.
Michigan.
It's a suburb. It's a suburb of Detroit.
Oh, okay.
And the thought came to me, well, why don't you go with this man and get you some money so you can feed your son? For a second, that idea came to me, because that's an alternative that's always given to women. See, the man tells you, look, you ain't got no money, then you can just sell your body. That's the easiest way to live. It's not. That's self-destruction. So consequently, when I want you to understand, it was cold. It was October. I had no money. And I think like a quarter tank of gas. And that, you know, ain't nobody going to know. And then I remembered my grand aunt. That was the other thing that she told me. You let no man put his hands on you. And she started telling me.
So she insisted that you keep, your grand aunt insisted that you keep funds in your pocket, have money. Now,
yes,
what's your grand aunt's name? We should just pay tribute to her today.
Maddie? It was Madeline, but they called her Maddie.
Maddie.
She was about 5'9", 5'10". And
so she stood tall in many ways.
Yes. She was very, very strong. Because, you know, pushing that push cart for miles.
You had to
power.
Be. Exactly. Yes. Wow.
And I want you to know that women in China still push carts.
Yes,
know
I've
that?
Been to China.
Yes.
I've been. So, yes, I know. Now, I just want to let folks know, again, if you're just joining us, again, today is a very special broadcast that we're kicking off our entire month talking to Gloria Lee. Now, she is the author of Women of Courage. Now, Gloria, I do want to kind of go back to this first book. I do want to talk about it. The title is Women of Courage, and on the first book, the cover, I love the beauty of the book cover.
Would you be kind enough
to tell our listeners who, if you can name the women that you've pictured, I'd love it. If you can just give us a few, if you'd like, talk about those women. And you got to remember out there, guys, for you guys listening to the show, it's difficult to really come up with just a few of you know, women that you feel the most courageous women. So you really are someone who took time and effort and energy into creating this. Would you be kind enough to tell us who some of the women that you put on the cover and why?
Well, I will tell you, one of them is Mother Teresa.
And I have a Mother Teresa story for you, too, by the way. I have a connection with Mother Teresa as well. But, yes, you go ahead. I'll tell you guys a little later. Go right ahead, Gloria. You put Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa is like in the corner, if I'm not mistaken. I love that.
Yes. There's another woman that I put there for a particular reason. I wanted to give recognition to this woman. Her name is Iris Chan. She is an American Chinese author, and I felt that many, many, many people do not know of her work. I'm not going to tell you what she did. I think women should go and find out. Her name is Iris Chan, C-H-A-N-G.
Well, hold it. Now, if we buy your book, Women of Courage, we're going to find out. Well, okay, that's what we're going to do. We're going to find out. That's where we're doing our research. Who else do you have, Gloria Lee?
Now, I want you to know what she did was very, very painful.
Oh, okay.
And this is why the book is Women of Courage. It takes courage to do things painful. It's not pleasant. But there are things that must be done even though they are painful. Now, another woman on the cover is Eleanor Roosevelt.
Tell us why.
Eleanor Roosevelt was not prejudiced. and she spoke her mind when it came to black people. And not only did she speak her mind, she did certain things to make and to ensure that people knew where she stood about black people. And again, I'm not going to tell you what she did, but that's
what
because you got to remember.
Oh, so you, Gloria Lee, you know how to tease. I thought I could tease. No. I'm a distant second. You know how to tease a book. I love it. So Gloria, tell us. Now, you said, and that's great, we got to get the book, Women of Courage, to find out some of these amazing stories that you've assembled and some of your favorite women. Now, who else do you have?
Okay. Now, this is another person. Her name is, now, I cannot really pronounce her name. She was the prime minister of Pakistan. Now, I want you to understand that that was a very dangerous occupation for women in Pakistan. I think her name is pronounced Benzarir, but her last name is B-H-U-T-T-O.
Oh, Bhutto.
Yes. But, again, you need to know what happened to her. It took courage for her to be who she was.
I think I remember her. I remember the story. This one I'm familiar with. Go right ahead.
It took courage to – see, it takes courage to say no.
Right.
It really does. It takes courage.
But I'm not going to tell you what I know. I'm not going to say it either. I'm in the Gloria Lee fan club. And so I'm not going to tell you. You will get the book. The fans of our show, I encourage you to buy these amazing books, Women of Courage. And Gloria Lee, as she's telling you, she's sharing with you a lot of the women that she finds the most courageous and why. And you will discover exactly some you may be familiar with. Like my own connection with, I like to call it a connection, but I've never been to Calcutta. But when I really look at the amazing artistry of the work of Mother Teresa, and I remember my connection with her was that I had a wonderful doctor where I used to work. And the doctor, Dr. Pankow, was just one, she was just somebody that I spoke with on a regular basis. And I loved it. And Dr. Pankow sent me a picture of she along with Mother Teresa. And that meant the world to me to have the both of them on one picture. And I used to talk to Dr. Pankow every day. And that's how I was most connected to her. And she told me all about, she went out and went over to, I think it was Calcutta with Mother Teresa. And this was amazing. And I kept that picture for a long time. And I've always felt a certain kinship with her. And also the same with Lady Di, but that's another story. So that was just the fact of how beautiful it was when I saw Mother Teresa on the cover of Gloria Lee's book. Amazing. And great choices. The women you selected, amazing. Amazing. But you forgot one.
Who?
Gloria Lee.
You hear the deepness? Did you? Oh, my God.
Gloria Lee.
I didn't touch Gloria Lee. I've been forced to. Several women have been forcing me to because they told me that I have to talk about myself.
You have to, Gloria.
I've been told that. A friend of mine is insisting that I write about myself.
Yes, because you know what? You share amazing stories about these wonderful women, and they were. Everything that you have described and you put into your books and more But what really makes it interesting is the story that you tell of yourself through your eye. And there's only one person can tell that story, and that's Gloria Lee. Now, folks, I have to say, when I kind of discovered who you are, I was quite moved. And it takes a lot to move me. I've been doing radio programming for 2.5 decades. And to discover someone who has been just working tirelessly to educate, inform women, and particularly women of color, and you resonate, and our stories kind of coincide because that's all that we've done. My platform has been to do it through the hair and beauty industry. And so I am so honored to have Gloria Lee with us. And I'm also honored to declare this month as Women of Courage Month. And not just this month, but every day here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, Gloria Lee is our guest today. And I want to kind of go back a little bit on this as well. In that book, you make a dedication. And so this first part of many series that we're going to explore. Today was just an introduction teaser to the many parts and that we have of Miss Gloria Lee, so we're real excited about it. But I do want to pay tribute. Now, this is a touching dedication in your book that just moved me, and there's a part that I'll share with you in just a moment. But can you tell us, and I want to make sure I say her name correctly, Allison, was it Pipemeyer?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us who Allison Pipemeyer was and what she means to you and why you decided to dedicate the first book, the Women of Courage book, to her? Tell us why.
When I learned of her, I was researching women who had been murdered in the Carolinas. And I saw the announcement of her death, and I began to research some of her work. And what pained me so much is that we lost such a caring person. This woman loved people. You could tell it from her work. You could tell it from the things that she did. She didn't just work an 8-hour day. She worked tirelessly writing for various publications, talking to her students, advocating. Do you know how hard it is to get people to advocate and to stay focused? That's a lot of hard work. And this woman paid the price. And all of her life's work was to help people in need. She took on some very tough problems in our country. And she didn't back down.
I do want to say, just to let everybody know, because I think this is so critical and important and can mean so much to folks. Allison Pipemeyer was the director of Women and Gender Studies and the associate professor of English at the College of Charleston. Now, she contributed a column for the Charleston City Paper and wrote several editorials for the New York Times Motherlode blog. And so we lost her back in 2016, ironically on my birthday, from brain cancer. But what I love about what you wrote is that she dedicated her life to writing about these subjects that you talk about, such as same-sex parents, women's rights, raising disabled children, Black Lives Matter movement.
Yes.
And at the time of her death, now she spoke into the future. And this
there
is what she had
you,
to say.
Yeah, you got it. You,
she wrote,
you got
I
it.
Do presume to know what a next life would be like. I don't even know what to imagine. In a next life, I hope I would be in a place where people would need me, where there's something meaningful to do. A next life without work, without purpose, would be disappointing. And so what really stayed with me when I read this, and I had to write it down separately and apart from all of my research with you, Gloria Lee, I wrote this down because what she writes is that it takes courage, or what she said, it takes courage to live. Courage to wake every day and try to make something of your life, knowing you will meet unfathomable challenges. And that stays with me because that is not just can every woman relate to that, but every person of color on the planet Earth. We get up, we decide to go forward. And you have the winds just blowing you and you're just barely holding on. So, Gloria Lee, I want to thank you for introducing me to Miss Alison Pipemeyer. And you can research her yourself, AlisonPiePmeier. So thank you. And I'm saying to you, the easiest place to research her is when you read Women of Courage by Gloria Lee, books 1 and 2. So, Gloria, please tell the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show how they can get a hold of your books.
Okay. They can purchase a book on my website, which is touchedbythelight.us. Now, the books are not sold in bookstores, and I will not sell them on Amazon. When you purchase any of my books, a portion of that money will go to help women directly. I believe in walking up to a woman with children and asking her, how can I help? There's a lot of women that need automobiles to get back and forth to work and also to protect their children. So 30% of this particular book, the Women of Courage series, is going to go to help women. And I explain that on my website, that it is very important that we support and encourage women to stand up and take control of their lives. And when you reach back and just give somebody a helping hand, an acknowledgement, you'd be surprised how you can change your life. And that's the purpose of Women of Courage, is for this book to change lives.
Well, I think you've heard it first right here, folks. Gloria Lee, the author of Women of Courage. And I tell you, your website, touchedbythelight.us, wonderful. I love it. Just fantastic.
Thank you.
So you're doing some great work out there. Again, you've been listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. My guest today, author Gloria Lee, again, Women of Courage. These are the books that we're talking about, and she's been sharing quite a bit of information with us today, and this is just the first part. We've got Gloria all month as we celebrate and continue to celebrate Women of Courage. So now, not today, we are going to tease it, but the next time you join us, Gloria, we've got a lot to talk about and where we go forward from here. So those are things that, that's one of the biggest things that we're going to kind of, you know, corner and ask you about the next time that you're with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we're going to be checking in with you for all kinds of wonderful things. And I just want to say thank you just for beginning to kind of, you know, let us peer into your world a little bit and why and how you have come with these wonderful, wonderful things. We also next time want to talk about several signs of courageous women. And so there's so many different things that we're going to share. So, again, now I do want to say this. Gloria is also a member of the Hair Radio Social Network site. So let's be clear. You can connect with Gloria Lee if you are a member yourself. And how do you become a member? It's free. Go to www.hairradio.com. Very simple. HAIRADIO.com. Hair Radio is how it's pronounced. It's free to be a basic member. You can go there. You can collect friends, so to speak. You can just type in Gloria's name, and you will connect with her. L-E-E is her last name. So it's very simple, and she'll pop right up and send her a friend request through the Hair Radio social media site. And so this is going to be exciting because we're going to put some excerpts there. We're going to have her books there where this comes all back to Miss Gloria Lee. And she can continue. She can continue her fight. So listen, Gloria Lee, I just want to say thank you today. Any last words for this portion of our talk that you want to share with our audience or leave with our audience before we say goodbye today?
I would like for women to go to the dictionary.
Or nowadays Google. Remember, we got Google now.
No, I want them to go to a dictionary.
Okay, and read. It's about the reading. Okay.
I don't want someone to do the work for them.
I figured it, yes. Yes.
And look up the word courage. And then for yourself, write down 10 examples of courage exhibited by women. 10 examples. If you cannot write down 10 examples in less than 5 minutes, then you do not know enough about women.
Mm.
You should be able to write down 10 examples of courage exhibited by women, and you should be able to do it in less than 10 minutes.
Well, I can certainly think of one, Gloria Lee, because you know what? It takes courage just to talk about what you're talking about. It takes courage. No, it really does. This is not some, you know, far-reaching, you know, notion. I mean, it really does take courage to stand up and talk about the things that you're sharing with us today on the Hair Radio Morning Show and through your Women of Courage books. And if you had not written them, we wouldn't be celebrating Women of Courage this month. You've already talked to folks before you even open up your mouth. So, Gloria Lee, I just got to say thank you. I have to say thank you. On behalf of all of us at the Hair Radio Morning Show, on behalf of the fans, on behalf of the folks who you've already touched, we're going to have you back, and we're going to continue this amazing, amazing walk.
I thank you, Mr. Hines. I really enjoy talking about this subject. It's close to my heart, and I truly appreciate your giving me this opportunity and forum to reach your readers and your listeners.
Absolutely, and this is just the beginning. We're not going to let you go that fast, Gloria Lee. This is just the start of something big. Okay, so I want to thank you. And also, folks out there, please use these hashtags, Women of Courage. Hashtag Women of Courage. Hashtag Gloria Lee. Hashtag The Hair Radio Morning Show. And remember to go to our social media and leave comments at www.hairradio.com. Again, that's spelled HAIRADIO.com. There you can connect with Gloria Lee and find out all about her wonderful, wonderful books. Again, Women of Courage. Gloria, have a wonderful day, and thank you so much for being with us.
I love you, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much. Have a great day, sir.
All right, folks, keep it right here. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Stay with us.
All right. Queen Treece has been standing by for a big part of the show. I'm going to see if we can get her in to give a little bit of a Fan Day Friday shout-out in just a few minutes. Let me bring back to the line my amazing co-host. We're talking about, of course, Nicole Marie out of Water Valley, Mississippi, and Michael Hopkins
yes.
out of Boston, beautiful.
Good morning again.
And of course,
good morning, Friday.
All right, guys. Yeah, so it's been a great show. Now, that I should have
it's
put out a big
awesome
warning
because
Gloria Lee comes in. She's strong as a
powerhouse.
You know, suburban.
yeah, I think a little stronger than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot. Gloria Lee goes in and and
she goes
speaks
all
the
way in.
Oh yes.
She
goes is a goer in her. She is a goer in her.
Most definitely.
I love it.
I was about shouting over here,
Carrie.
Yeah. I was about shouting over here.
Yeah.
She definitely hit it with the inspiration, with the encouragement. The girl power that we push right here, that I push right here on the show. I mean, she was all up in that. Women definitely have power. Yes, and I mean, she just hit it right the nail right on the head.
She has a part two. She has a part two to that incredible interview that we did years ago. So we'll get that on sometime next week. And I'm hoping that Nicole Marie will put together a whole new special for the ladies and for the women out there and helping them to navigate their lives. So we'll talk about that in the weeks to come. And what she has to say is relevant to everybody. And it was just such an honor, and we hope she's doing well these days. I'll have to check in with Gloria Lee and catch up with her in current times and hope and pray that she's still out there doing her thing. But her books are available, as she mentioned. And real excited about that. Let's take a moment to see if we can get on a Fan Day guest. Queen Treece, I don't know if you're there, if you can hear us or not. You're on with the entire crew of the Hair Radio.
Good morning, Queen Treece.
Happy Queen
Friday.
Treece, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So we see that you are enjoying the show today. What is it that you like most? What do you like most about our show, the Hair Radio Morning Show, Queen Treece?
But most of all, what I love about the show is the energy that is a feedback. It's very vibrant, and you get a lot of information. But if you're not up in time, you won't get the majority of it unless you get the feedback. I like to be the first. I don't get it. I don't want to go back to the callback.
You don't want to play it back. You want to be part of it.
You want to hear it firsthand.
That's right.
Wow. Now, Queen Treece, just to remind everybody, where are you located?
I am in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh, hold it. We can't hear you. You've got to speak right into the phone. Yes, speak right into your phone.
I'm in New Orleans, Louisiana.
New Orleans. Okay. All
right. Not far from me.
I'm in NOLA. I'm in the boot.
In Orleans.
Oh, that's right. Wow. The boot. Wow. Well, I love New Orleans, as they say down there. The food, we've been talking about food on the show today. It is just incredible. Well, listen, Queen Treece, I just want to say thank you for always supporting. You also are a person who believes in our hair product therapy, and she's standing by waiting for the new products to ship, and we are just so excited. We're going to be talking about that. We have on some other therapy folks, Nicole Maria and Michael Hopkins. So we got a therapy late closeout of the show today. So thank you so much, Queen Treece, for being our guest this morning and continue to enjoy the show. So, I'm excited, guys. This is going to be really hot, the therapy. Therapy all next week, we are doing a special rollout of therapy starting on Tuesday. So it's going to be 4 days of therapy where we cover everything from product knowledge to becoming a distributor. We have new videos coming out about being a distributor, welcoming our current distributor team. You know, so it's an ongoing effort to really bring back this iconic brand. And when we launched, it has just done gangbusters and really has brought the industry together. So I'm loving it. I think this
Wonderful.
Is going to be great.
So excited.
Yeah. Well, Hopkins, did you enjoy today's show? You've been awfully quiet there down in beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia.
Oh, I'm here live and I'm just absorbing all of this. That lady was just,
oh hold it. Not that yes. lady. Her name is Gloria Lee, Michael Hopkins. Get a pen and paper, folks. Yeah, we have to make sure and give people
Gloria
their
Lee.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, that's important, okay? That's very important. But, yes, thank you, Michael. She is a very special person. We want to respect all these folks, men and women.
Most definitely.
And I think that's what
but
it's all about.
She was on fire. Yeah.
She was. She was. She lit it up.
She sure
lit
did.
It up. And tossed the match out the window. And that's what it's about.
Oh, yeah.
It's about some of this is a bit shocking because we don't get to hear these conversations. Like, I never knew
right.
this thing about
right.
What she was saying about women, making sure that the women have money and stuff like
have
that.
Money.
And I didn't understand
yeah.
those things. And somebody else
I mean, she went back and gave us history.
Yes, she gave us history.
Well, yeah, she was really on point with that. That she was
Which
on
part?
Point and on time with.
What was
Ms.
that,
Lee
Michael?
Was on point and on time. Ms. Lee was on point and on time with that. About women, their
oh,
money.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
And when
well,
she really
had
dove
no idea
real
what she
deep
was
into
about.
It.
Yeah. Well, she led you where you needed to know what you needed to know. I think
oh,
that's
yeah.
pretty clearly said it.
Oh, she did.
She did.
And you know, Carrie, and you know, Carrie, and Nicole Marie, she led us on a history tour. And I can relate when she was talking
it
about
is.
The late 40s, World War II,
yeah.
and it created that picture for me because when you go back, you look at the newsreels, you look at things, because, I mean, I study a lot of the military history, obviously, and that's what was going on back then, Metal. It was for the war effort. And she had my undivided – I loved how she was painting that picture of her auntie and mentoring her. And that's what we would call it nowadays. She was mentoring her. And
yeah.
she mentored her, and it turned out, I mean, the book thing, that's why, to me, that you never know whose life that you're touching. You never
exactly.
know. It could be 40 years from now, 20 years from now, 10 years from now. 100 years from now, none of us never know whose life we're touching. And,
well,
I mean, it was just beautiful.
To do here every day here on
exactly.
the Air Radio Morning
exactly.
Show. That's the whole
Touch
idea of this broadcast.
Every day.
Exactly. To be inspiring. To aspire,
right.
inspire, and
inspire,
that's
encourage,
hopefully not
uplift,
the potential inspire. But yeah,
forward.
Yeah, I
make today the best
exactly.
day that you can make it.
I agree 100%. Speaking of the best day you can make it, we're hoping you also make it the best weekend you can make it, because we'll be off until Tuesday morning. We'll be back on Tuesday. Today is Friday, August 26th of 2022. We're about to close out this week. It's been an incredible week of shows. I've been very, very
yeah,
excited.
Wonderful.
Next week, yeah, we're bringing in, ushering in a whole bunch of new guests. This week, we kind of gave you a little break. You had a chance to spend time with each of us. We're going to continue that into the next week, and we will have some new guests joining in with the celebration here. So we'll talk about all of that. I guess we'll be ushering in September next week as well. So lots to,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
to share with everybody. We'll be talking about, we finally will be getting into Upscale Magazine and talking about that. We've got so much therapy that it's literally going to be therapy week next week.
So much.
Oh, yes. Fantastic. We're looking forward to that. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, and we're going to remind everybody all the things that they can do and what therapy can do as well. That's what you most want to hear. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun with that. And so this is a good time if you have not, if you didn't remember or whatever, but know that you can go to upscalemagazineradio.com. Again, it's upscalemagazineradio.com from this point forward. And it plays 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Usually we air a recent broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show, just to be exact. And today's no different, really. So I'm just, I'm excited. I want you to have a good weekend. And we'll continue to make this broadcast and everything we're doing the best we can. So I
yes,
want to thank
you.
All of our guests today and yes. our amazing folks, our amazing team, Blue,
yes,
Michael Hopkins, Nicole Marie, and the entire
oh, yeah.
team at Hair Radio. And we'll see you guys back here. We'll get the outro started. We'll see you back here on Tuesday, again, 6 a.m. to 9 Eastern. 5 to 8 Central with an all-new edition of the Hair Radio Morning. So I'm Gary Ives. Make it a great Friday. Really, we just did. We'll see you.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio Broadcast Network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show